Having citizens come to me and tell me that something didn't seem right. Something didn't seem right in our local city council elections. Something didn't seem right in our county from years ago to the 2020 election. And they wanted answers.
Another voter contacted the office after learning from the state's ballot tracking system that their ballot had been turned in by someone else. Election officials began comparing signatures and noted some of them appeared to be signed by the same person. They launched an investigation, but not before three of the stolen ballots had already been counted. Those ballots cannot be retrieved, and the votes will count, but the three voters will receive new ballots.
This shows the resiliency of our process here in Colorado, that if somebody tries to do nefarious things, it will be discovered through our processes.
And I said, you know what? If there's a there, we'll find it. And I've made that pledge to the citizens of Mesa County and all over Colorado that the people elected me, not the Secretary of State.
Passwords for Colorado's voting systems were posted online for anyone to see for months, if you knew where to look. Democratic Secretary of State Jenna Griswold's office apparently posted them online by accident. Griswold's office found out last Thursday and had not told the county clerks who actually run elections. Then the Colorado Republican Party went public today, demanding that Griswold secure those voting machines.
And it sounds like what you're saying is the only people investigating the actions of your office are your office, unless I'm mistaken. Is there an outside agency that is investigating what happened in your office?
We unfortunately had a civil servant upload a spreadsheet with some passwords to voting equipment. That is not the passwords needed to access the voting equipment. You need two sets of passwords. That is the full extent of it. We disclosed that immediately to federal agency CISA that has oversight of the nation's elections, and we've been working with them.
Those BIOS passwords, 670 of them, from 63 counties out of the 64 counties in Colorado, have been on the public website for the Secretary of State, which means they were out there for anybody to grab. She should be locked up, and they should throw away the key and let me loose.
Yeah, we need a prisoner swap.
Tina Peters, former Mesa County clerk in Colorado, was convicted in 2024 on seven counts, including felony charges for allowing unauthorized imaging of Dominion voting machines in 2021. She argued that her actions were intended to preserve election records before a state-mandated software update that would have erased them. Believing this was her duty to ensure transparency amid public concerns about the 2020 election, Peters acted without criminal intent and argued that the imaging did in fact reveal potential vulnerabilities in the voting system. She was then sentenced to 9 years in prison, a term that is clearly cruel and unusual and a violation of her Eighth Amendment rights, as her offense sought no personal gain. Federal prosecutors from the U.S. Department of Justice under the Trump administration filed a statement of interest in her federal habeas corpus petition, expressing reasonable concerns about the state trial judge's repeated inflammatory remarks.
You are no hero, you abused your position, and you're a charlatan who used and is still using your prior position in office to peddle a snake oil that's been proven to be junk time and time again. Your lies are well documented, and these convictions are serious.
President Trump has called her a political prisoner and demanded her release.
The Deputy Attorney General in the federal government is working, Todd Blanche, is asked the Bureau of Prisons to find any way they can legally to move Tina Peters out of Colorado State Prison and into federal prison. Now, that could signal several things. One, they're worried about her safety. Two, that she might become a witness in some future federal investigation. Therefore, having her in federal custody would be a part.
Peters remains incarcerated in a Colorado prison and housed among violent offenders despite being 70. She is reportedly in poor health after she previously underwent treatment for lung cancer, resulting in the partial removal of one of her lungs, which has left her with chronic respiratory vulnerabilities. Free Tina Peters today, releasing her pending full...
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish DMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-filament formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Oh, we're halfway there. We're halfway there, and we're excited that you're jumping on board with us today. A lot going on in the world today. A lot happening here. So thanks for being here. All right, guys. As you just saw, free Tina Peters. We played that clip before we started the show today in regards to the latest on Miss Tina Peters. She is still currently sitting in a Colorado prison, obviously a political prisoner, and it's outrageous that that's happening because she is a whistleblower and she is someone who should be protected. But she should not be sitting in prison right now. She should be celebrated for what she tried to expose back in 2020. And folks, you know, I had the honor of speaking with Miss Tina Peters a couple of times before she went in, and she's an incredible, incredible woman and someone we should all strive to be more like. She is brave. She is a patriot, and she truly loves this country and had nothing to lose. She's sacrificed so much for this country. She had nothing to lose, and she wanted to make sure that our elections were sacred and preserved, and that's exactly what she did. So the fact that she's still sitting in prison is outrageous. Colorado shouldn't receive a penny in federal funding until she is released. Tina Peters is a political prisoner, and I want to keep reminding our audience of just that. And there's a lot more happening around the world today, a lot more to expose. The rhinos are really just going out of control. Yesterday, I gave you a scoop yesterday, if you follow me on Twitter. It was in regards to a census vote. I'll detail it for you, but there was a census vote yesterday that was, well, it didn't go as planned. And I'm finding out from actual congressional members who have reached out as to why that all happened yesterday, why that census failed yesterday. It's very, very important that we discuss just that. I am hearing that Corey Mills is the reason why they decided to not go through with it. I've reached out to Speaker Johnson's office. I'll give you the latest in just a few moments. Plus, we're also going to be discussing that Saudi dinner that happened last night. President Trump is doing his very best to try to cut deals with the Saudis. He is also going to be hosting a summit in just a few hours as well about their investments in the United States of America, obviously. And I don't know how you want to feel about that, but we'll bring it to you live when it does begin. We've got our eyes all over the place, too. We've also got our eyes on the Epstein saga that happened yesterday. As many of you guys know, there was a lot going on there. And, you know, we rarely actually cover it because I think it's a distraction in regards to what the rhinos have been doing to manipulate the Epstein stuff. I think all of this is a distraction at this point. I think it's very important for us to cover Epstein. I think it's very important for us to demand the Epstein files. But I think it is becoming a distraction only because, you know, the only thing that we've learned over the last few weeks of covering the Epstein stuff is that Democrats were actually texting Jeffrey Epstein, sending him emails. That's what we know now. But in the long run, there are so many issues that have just been placed on the back burner in the mainstream media, and it's intentional. That's the reason why they did what they did. They intentionally did those selective email dumps, Democrats I'm referring to, just, what, hours before President Trump was expected to reopen the government after being shut down for 43 days. This is all strategic. And again, I'm not going to call it a hoax. It's not a hoax. But what has happened thus far is absolutely egregious. It is a dark, dark stain on American history. But everyone is involved in it, and everyone's involved in the cover-up. I'm going to walk you through the latest details because, you know, Speaker Johnson's sitting here, and he's making comments, too, that are very just disheartening. disheartening at this point. So we'll detail that today as well. Plus, I'll be joined by Congressman Keith Self. Now, he is a Texas congressman, very outspoken on the issue related to Islam. And yesterday, a lot was happening in Texas because it's been garnering a lot of national attention. Texas right now is obviously dealing with a hostile takeover of Islam right now. They are really doing their very best to infiltrate, and they've done just that in Texas. So obviously, it's gaining so much attention that even Republicans in the state, the Rhino Republicans, are being forced to confront the issue. Yesterday, we detailed how the governor in Texas, Greg Abbott, was doing just that. But folks, it's probably a little too late at this point. And he's just doing the bare minimum, the bare minimum. So the Congressman Keith Self is going to join us today. And I got a lot of questions for him because he is pushing for on the federal level a lot of key legislation. And he's also going to be giving a speech later today as well. So we look forward to having him on to discuss that right after he finishes the show. He is actually going to go over to the House floor and give a speech on Islam. And so we look forward to getting some insights and giving you the exclusive as to what he plans on discussing. Plus, Sarah Gonzalez also going to be joining the show today. I don't know where I'm at today. Sarah Gonzalez will be joining us. She's obviously one of the great personalities over at The Blaze, but she's got a lot to talk about. Yesterday, she was very critical of Greg Abbott because, well, the federal court yesterday, the 3-judge panel decided to rule against the state of Texas. And ultimately what they've done, well, they have decided that our redistricting maps are not going to be implemented. Sarah was one of the first to tweet about it, also rightfully call out Greg Abbott. Because a judge in that case is literally saying that it was race-driven. So we will have Sarah Gonzalez joining the program today to get her take on all that. Plus, I'll be taking your calls as well later on in the show. And you know I love doing just that, so we look forward to it, of course. But a lot happening, a lot that needs to be debunked. And I've got a lot of other stories that you probably didn't even know were taking place. Miscellaneous stories is what I like to call them. We just toss them in and like, this is everything that you probably had no idea was going on in the world today. So let's kick things off. Let's talk about the Saudi dinner. Okay, so yesterday President Trump held a White House dinner with the Prince of Saudi Arabia, and he's been doing his very best to try to bring Saudi Arabia back to the table, trying to do business deals with them. And yesterday was highlighting just that. Yesterday, while we were watching the dinner, I was watching clips online, and the Pfizer CEO was there. Just absolutely disgusting every time I see that. Elon Musk was there, which was a good sign. But it was very, very interesting because the Saudis are now apparently investing $1 trillion, possibly. Trump made that announcement yesterday. We'll play that for you right now in clip one. Take a listen.
This opening up of the new avenues of cooperation between the United States and Saudi Arabia is really unprecedented. And on that trip, Saudi Arabia announced that it will invest an incredible $600 billion. That means jobs. It's also good for your companies, but I'm only interested in the jobs for your country. I'm not interested in the profits, but I guess the profits are there, too. But $600 billion in the United States. And today I said, any way you can up that? And he said, I am going to up that to $1 trillion. So he's investing $1 trillion into the United States.
Sounds good, President Trump, spinning that. I don't know why we're doing this. This doesn't sound like Make America Great Again. Although, yes, it is an investment in America, obviously. The reality of it is, do we really need the Saudis? Do we? President Trump is also saying that they are one of our major non-NATO allies these days, and he announced that just yesterday in clip two. I want you to take a listen to that as well. Listen in.
Okay, so that's why tonight I'm pleased to announce that we are taking our military cooperation to even greater heights by formally designating Saudi Arabia as a major non-NATO ally, which is something that is very important to them. And I'm just telling you now for the first time because I wanted to keep a little secret for tonight. I just heard him say, oh, that's nice. That's another point you won today. And signing a historic strategic defense agreement, which we just signed a little while ago. So congratulations. It's out there.
All right, a couple of other announcements. also taking place, but those are the two major ones. We're keeping our eye, though, obviously, on that summit that's expected to begin around noon today over at the White House. Once that begins, we'll bring it to you if there's breaking news, obviously, coming from that. But the Saudis are expected to be there. And it's an investment summit, so we're probably going to hear more details on that $1 trillion investment the president was speaking on. But the good news is, it was good to see Elon Musk back at the White House. If we could celebrate anything, let's celebrate at least that. It's good to see that President Trump and Elon Musk are back to good terms, back on good terms. Because, folks, the people that we all strongly dislike wanted to divide these two men because they're very powerful together. They are very powerful together. And so to see him back at the seat at the White House last night at the dinner was incredible to see. So this is good news. Very, very good news for the rest of us who just love to see Elon Musk front and center these days. All right, let's keep talking, though, because we got a lot to go on. Obviously, the Epstein stuff yesterday was a big deal. And I know so many people were gunning for that yesterday. They wanted to see the House and the Senate both pass the Epstein file release. I think a lot of people were a little distraught when they realized that the DOJ could start redacting things. I've always kind of known that that was going to be the case. I don't know if we're really going to find out much from these files, honestly. I think anything that we would have wanted to know about certain key deep state people, operatives, whatever you want to call them, I think that's probably been gone, tossed out already. But it was good to see, I guess, the House and the Senate both come to the agreement on all of this. Interesting enough, though, when it comes to this, you know, what they're referring to as the new Russiagate over at the Media Research Center, they covered how much time was given to kind of plague President Trump regarding this Epstein coverage. Obviously, the people that didn't really want to talk about Arctic Frost, well, they're front and center when it comes to trying to slander President Trump and pretend like he somehow, some way had some type of deal with all of this in regards to Epstein. Well, look at this. ABC News, according to Media Research Center, spent 358 minutes covering the Trump angle to all of this. Again, Trump isn't the main character in any of this, but they still focused on that. Also, NBC spent about 276 minutes and CBS 187 minutes as well. So, folks, this isn't really surprising to me, of course. The mainstream media obviously does the legwork of the Democrats, and they were looking to do the spinning on all of this. But the only thing we've really learned over these last few days is that Democrats were the ones who were sending Jeffrey Epstein love notes. They loved their donations from him, even after he was a convicted pedophile and everyone knew what he was up to. You see, President Trump didn't really know who he was. When he found out who he was, he quickly kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. That's the difference. That's the difference. And so now you have all of these awful, awful people who are now being outed. Remember, folks, last week, Democrats intentionally released three emails in an attempt to try to link President Trump to Jeffrey Epstein again. And when that failed, well, all it did was really expose who they are. Because thousands and thousands of more emails highlighted, well, what we now know, that they were the ones who were actually in communication with Epstein. And the narrative is clear. The narrative is clear. They are trying their very best, and by they, I mean the media and Democrats, they are one at this point. They are trying their very best to continue to push this narrative as if President Trump had some heavy involvement in all of this. And they're trying to embarrass him. Take a listen to clip three, because this one's important. In clip three, you're going to hear a reporter, a so-called reporter from ABC News. And she's just such a garbage reporter that she continues to try to embarrass the president while he's having meetings with foreign leaders by asking the same questions about Epstein. Take a listen.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, it's not the question that I mind. It's your attitude. I think you are a terrible reporter. It's the way you ask these questions. You start off with a man who's highly respected, asking him a horrible, insubordinate, and just a terrible question. And you could even ask that same exact question nicely. You're all psyched. Or somebody psychs you over at ABC. They're going to psych it. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter.
You gotta love the honesty there. Obviously, her tone was absolutely disrespectful. And to ask this in front of a foreign leader, how dare you? How dare you? You see, this is what they're trying to do. They are trying their very best to take away from what President Trump's doing, whether you agree with it or not. He is trying his very best to bring other countries to the forefront and work out deals. You don't have to agree with it. You just have to admit that he's at least trying. That's something the last regime did not do. And so what does ABC News do? Well, they send in their bully reporter to go out there and try to embarrass the president. All she did, though, was embarrass herself. Now the entire world sees that she's an absolute idiot. An absolute idiot. And I love the fact that you get to see her facial reaction as the president destroys her for about 37 seconds. She's earned it. She's earned it. You don't speak to the leader of the United States like that, in that tone especially. The level of disrespect that woman has is off the charts. And I was going to her ex page yesterday, just scrolling through, and she posted this video, and it was up on ABC News too, as if she was some type of incredible journalist prior to asking that question. She's a garbage journalist, and so are many of the individuals over at ABC News. I know this because I've worked with a couple of them. It's crazy. There's something that happens too. There was one reporter who I worked with when I worked in local news over in West Palm Beach, and I truthfully thought he was actually kind of conservative. He was very close with the Governor Ron DeSantis' group of staffers, and then drastically changed when he made his way to D.C. for a role over at ABC. And I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, why is he being such a jerk? There's one interview that he did with Trisha McLaughlin over at DHS, the spokeswoman for them, DHS, and she was great. His first name is Jay. I'm trying to remember what his last name is. She like totally rips him after he tries to grill her on one of those MS-13 gang members that were being deported. And again, these are the kind of people who rise to the top in the corporate media world. They're just leeches. They can't break good stories. They just go in attack mode. They win extra points when they go after the president of the United States, when they go after members of his administration. So that's why they do it so often. And it's so disgusting to see. But this is what happens. I mean, I saw it firsthand. This guy, Jay, worked in the West Palm, local affiliate for West Palm News. I'm trying to remember what the call sign was on that one, too. It's a blur at this point. The corporate media world is an absolute disgrace. And I try to black out my memories of being there. But again, this was somebody who I never even really thought was going to be someone who was going to have a real bias until you see him front and center over at ABC News. And it's elevated his career. He's now at the desk. I see him on Sundays, I believe it was. On Sunday, he's sitting at the desk on a primetime slot. And it's pretty impressive to sit there and see. Am I impressive? I'm being sarcastic. Because again, in media, when you go after the White House, not any White House, the Trump White House, they seem to elevate you. They seem to elevate you. And that's what we've seen time and time again. People are an absolute disgrace. Let's keep it on the topic of the Epstein file dump because it's interesting. Again, I'm going to keep highlighting this. We've learned a lot, but we're learning a lot only because the documents Democrats didn't want you to see. You see, they intentionally missed the emails, the text messages of their own allies sending to Jeffrey Epstein. Hakeem Jeffries is now under fire, obviously, and it's for the right reasons. The Epstein document dump obviously now reveals that Hakeem's consulting firm reached out to Epstein to arrange a dinner between the two of them. Take a look at this. This was released yesterday. Not sure if you saw this letter, but this one's important. This one's important mainly because it's what they don't want you to see. It's what they don't want you to see. It is incredible that these people thought they were going to get away with this. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. We are thrilled to announce that we are working with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, one of the rising stars in the New York congressional delegation, sometimes referred to as Brooklyn Barack. Brooklyn's Barack. Imagine that. We hear... just think he's a cheap version of Barack Obama. But I just think it's hilarious. I think it's absolutely hilarious. So they were trying to arrange this dinner. And obviously Hakeem Jeffries wants nothing to be a part of this these days. But obviously he was looking for a big, big check, as Dems do. Take a listen to clip 4, because CNN actually asked him about this yesterday. And his response was very telling. Take a listen.
Ask you about you, because the White House has been highlighting an email that I'm sure you've seen today that Jeffrey Epstein got in 2013. They say it shows you were soliciting money and dinner from an Epstein. The email was not sent from you. It was sent from a political consulting firm called Dynamic SRG. that says, "We are thrilled to announce we are working with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Shoot us an email or give us a call if you would like to get involved." What's your response? Do you recall that email being sent to Jeffrey Epstein from that team?
Yeah, of course, I have no recollection of the email. I've never had a conversation with him, never met him, know nothing about him other than the extreme things that he's been convicted of doing. And that's why, you know, I'm just strongly supportive of the effort, backing the survivors to make sure that everything can come out, whatever is in those Department of Justice files.
So you never got a donation from Jeffrey Epstein or anything like that?
Certainly not.
Okay, so that's the key point in all of this. As he continues to deny it, it's important to remember, folks, that this was taking place in 2013. So everyone knew he was a pedophile by then. This is well documented. So although Hakeem Jeffries will downplay all of this, it's important to know that these people are absolutely garbage. Absolute garbage. These are the people who continue to go out there and say, "We're supporting the survivors." Why have you all of a sudden now decided to support the survivors, Hakeem Jeffries? Because for the last, 4 years, when Joe Biden was occupying the White House, you didn't care for the survivors. But now, all of a sudden, you felt this wave of inspiration where you pretend to align with sexual assault survivors. It's absolutely disgusting that this is what this country has come to. And it's really infuriating that this is the fight that we continue to have to battle again and again and again. These people find themselves having to defend themselves because, well, they have been dealing with a known pedophile for quite some time, but they didn't care because they were getting donations. And they thought maybe a consulting firm will be the buffer between them and Hakeem Jeffries. Well, it just highlights how desperate they were to directly align themselves with Jeffrey Epstein, just for a couple of dollars. It makes you wonder, what have Democrats done to truly get more donations at this point? And again, it's both parties. I don't think one party is better than the other. That would be a foolish take to have. But I will say that Democrats definitely continuously find themselves aligning with pedos. Now, I could sit there and be naive and pretend like I had no idea this was happening. But I'd love to see, was there a response? Clearly, he would have not rejected that meeting. He's not in a place where he could reject those types of meetings. And so I think it's extremely telling when we sit back and we watch these types of clips, when these idiots are confronted with their own level of stupidity. These are the people who are trying to lecture President Donald Trump on some type of moral high ground, as if they stand on it. They stand for nothing. They've aligned with pedos over the last few years, and they continue to do just that. And the reality of it is, when Joe Biden himself was accused of being one, none of them spoke out on the issue. None of them cared to talk about the survivors then. None of them cared. Folks, I want to remind you, we're going to continue to dive into all of this. Plus, I'll give you an exclusive as to why all of a sudden a census yesterday was completely rejected thanks to rhinos. In the meantime, though, I want to tell you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have a limited sale that's not going to last for a long period of time right now. We've got two sales going on right now. Number one, with every order, you're going to get a free flag. Starting today, every order placed will receive a free mystery flag. Add any of the amazing products to your cart, and you're going to get that free flag automatically. Now, you could also stack that up with the free $10 that we have going on right now. You get a free $10 credit, no minimum to spend, over at thealexjonesstore.com. And as a reminder, every purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com gets you about 25 times entries, more entries, to win a badass Jeep 392. Am I saying that right, folks? Who knows? I just like the car. I know nothing about vehicles, but it's a cool car. I'd actually probably want that one. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you indulge in this sale. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, our ultramethylene blue is the best medical grade there is. It's so good for your body. We have nothing but rave reviews. It is so crazy good. But even if you buy it and don't like it, which we've had out of like 500 people I've given it to, three didn't have any effect. Every person on air I've given it to absolutely loves it. And it's so good for you. Super energy, within 30 minutes, no letdown, and you even sleep better on it. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have all the other great products. I know our CMOS doesn't sound sexy, or Shilajit doesn't, or bovine colostrum. Whatever's the best, whatever's the highest rated, whatever absolutely delivers That's what we sell. So take action now. The widest selection of Patriot apparel. A lot of limited edition shirts, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters are also there at thealexandroy.com. And even if the globalists shut down InfoWars, which they got a state receiver trying to do right now, we're fighting in court. Whatever. We got the Alex Jones Network that's owned by Big League that I don't own, and the AlexJonesShow.com that I don't own. I'll just be the news director there. They can't shut that down. So you're keeping us on air at the same time getting incredible products. Folks, you are missing out. I'm not a hype man. They said the best salesmen sell good products. Well, I sell the best. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order on top of all the other discounts that are there gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you will get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, ultramethylene blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade formula, bovine colostrum, the best. 2,000 milligram per scoop. Don't know about it? You should look into it. We got the best. Ultimate Sea Moss. Don't know about it? Look into it. We have the best. It's like 40 milligrams per serving of two gummies or the capsules. That's like a giant bowl of Irish Sea Moss. Talk about, you think spinach is good for Popeye? Well, this is like spinach to the infinity. Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. It's all there. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deal, special offer, special sales. So if you buy anything on the store, become a VIP. And if you're worried about stuff selling out, which stuff sometimes sells out for like 6 months. One time, sold out of the Irish Sea Moss 6 months. Because we have the highest standards, it's hard to get the ingredients. You sign up for AutoShip, they hold it back for you, and you get 50% off in the future order. You can cancel any time. So it's not much of a commitment when you become a VIP or a subscriber. You can cancel any time. You just get all the benefits. But we know it's so good when you get it, you'll reorder. We have an 80%+ reorder on the Methylene Blue. Nobody has that.
Welcome to the AlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. Power up today.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on this side, so we're glad to catch you up on the news cycle. A lot of distractions going on in the mainstream media, but we're going to tell you all the stories that they don't want us covering because, you know, that's what I do best. So thank you for joining us, of course. I wanted to focus on what happened yesterday. Governor Greg Abbott over in the great state of Texas made an announcement, and it's an important announcement that we wanted to go through. The governor came out with this tweet yesterday designating the Muslim Brotherhood and Council on American-Islamic Relations as a foreign terrorist and a transnational criminal organization. Now, this is important, folks, that it's the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE. So on a state level now, they are starting to acknowledge that these two are a massive threat. Now, I say two, but vaguely, they're very much, according to several people's accusations, of course, they are one.
And so it's great to see Governor Greg Abbott coming out and saying things like that. But I have to say, it feels like it might be a little too late, because here in the state of Texas, there is an Islamic takeover. And if you haven't noticed, we've covered it extensively on this program. But certain areas, my area, Plano, Texas, has been getting a lot of national attention lately due to this takeover. As many of you guys have heard about it, it's epic, which is known as the East Plano Islamic Center. It's about 400 acres. They're looking to develop on this land. It caused national controversy. A lot of people were fired up and angry about this, especially those who attended with me to the local public hearing in Collin County, and they were fired up. Well, now, according, as you see there in that post, to the Collin County judge, Chris Hill, it is quite interesting, but Epic is looking to rebrand. We covered that announcement last week when it was made by the judge, ultimately coming out and saying that they're rebranding and they want to be known as the Meadow now, trying their very best to make it appear like they are not going to be running a Muslim compound. Now, folks, I've driven through what's currently developed as Epic. You could drive through the streets. You'll notice that the street names are those of Islamic conquerors. That was reported by the RARE Foundation, and I, for one, wanted to see it myself, so I went there to do just that. They're not welcoming. They want to know why you're there in the first place, and they stare at you when you drive around. Other people have had other interactions with them. And so this is not something that should be dismissed as just a community looking to develop as the Meadow. This is something that is extremely concerning. It has a lot of Texans really, really fired up and upset. But this is going on for many years now, and it's not just Texas. It's happening in places like Florida as well. Over the last 2 years in Texas alone, that specific area, Plano and Frisco, there's been about roughly around 48 mosques that have been created over the last 2 years. This is rapidly, rapidly expanding, and it's deeply, deeply concerning. And many politicians are just too fearful of discussing this. But one congressman from the great state of Texas isn't shying away from the topic, and he joins us now. Please welcome to the show Congressman Keith Self. He's one of the very few brave members of our Congress who are calling out this Islamic takeover and looking to push back on that front. Congressman, I want to thank you for being here, because you're working aggressively hard on co-sponsoring a lot of key pieces of legislation on a federal level. For right now, though, I wanted to get your take on what the governor just did yesterday in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE as well, designating those both as very alarming as potential foreign terrorist organizations. Your thoughts on this?
Well, as you said, that is a very important announcement. Now we need to follow up, because when you designate these organizations as foreign terrorist organizations, that gives law enforcement more tools to use against it. But frankly, we're going to have to see not only the government work, but I encourage Texans not to be intimidated, because that's what they do, is they intimidate just normal citizens. I always use the example of walking your dog down a sidewalk. If a Muslim tells you that you're offending him, then you have the right, and you need to stand for your rights to continue to do that. So this is going to be an effort by citizens as well as government. You cannot depend only on your government. You are going to have to not be intimidated and stand against it. Having said that, important announcement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very important announcement. And I kind of wanted to highlight, too, you know, we are very thankful for the Collin County judge, Chris Hill, who made the announcement of the rebranding that they're trying to do for Epic. And, you know, I sat there in his courtroom and watched it all play out. And I was very proud of Texans who not only showed up, but had an overwhelming amount of support, were relentless in making sure that their thoughts on all of this were heard. In fact, the courtroom itself wasn't able to hold all of them, and we needed like an overflow room as well, because so many people are concerned about this issue, and it's a very, very important one. And I know you just recently also endorsed Chris Hill as well, so this is all really, really important. But you've been hyper focused on getting this on a federal level. You've endorsed and co-sponsored several key pieces of legislation that I wanted to highlight as well. You're supporting, obviously, HR 4097, which is to designate CARE as a terrorist organization, as well as HR 43 397, which designates the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. You're also, and we're going to talk about this in depth as well, the No Sharia Act as well is something that you are also trying to push forward as well. But I want to talk mainly about CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood, because they've been focused heavily by many in the independent journalism world as to they're threats. They're threats to those who cover them. I know a great woman named Amy Mack who covers them extensively, and they go after her. They target her. They do their very best to slander her, but they tout a very thin line between defamation and just being able to do just that. And it's pretty concerning. And this is the intimidation factor that you were just talking about. What's being done on the federal level to make sure groups like CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood can't intimidate Americans from coming forward and speaking freely on these issues?
Well, Chip Roy's bill that you did not mention, Preserving a Sharia-Free America Act, is important. Because if you are a foreign national and you adhere to Sharia, then you're going to leave the country. Foreign national, not citizens, but foreign national of any sort. If you adhere to Sharia, you're going to leave the country or you will not be allowed to come into the country. That's an important bill that we need to get passed. And then the Randy Fine bill that is that says that American courts cannot adhere to Sharia and take Sharia law into account is also an important bill. But again, this is all legislation. The people need to be aware of the great danger that we are in and participate in this. Support your elected officials that are going to be doing the heavy lifting, your law enforcement that's going to be doing the heavy lifting, and do not be intimidated.
Yeah, Congressman, you know, we sit back and watch what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan, and there's a mayor in Dearborn, Michigan, who is doing his very best to intimidate those, specifically Christians, who come forward and are looking to just voice their concerns about what's happening in Dearborn, Michigan. We've heard him say repeatedly that they don't want to assimilate, and most importantly, telling one, I believe it was a pastor, telling him that he can't wait for him to leave the city of Dearborn, Michigan, because he thinks that he's a plague pretty much to the city and to Muslims there. If we draft up all those pieces of legislation, like the ones that we've had so far, because there's a lot that you guys have brought forward so far, like you've mentioned the Preserving of the Sharia-Free American Act, what can we do to go after these cities who are refusing to allow Americans, Christians specifically, to voice their concerns about, you know, the prayers that are being blasted at 5 a.m. in their cities? I mean, these Americans have concerns. This isn't a constitutional right at this point. These are people who are looking to assert their dominance here in the West.
Well, we need to be like Jessica Holsey just stood up in front of the Josephine City Council and defended exactly what you just talked about. We are a Christian-based constitution directly from the Declaration of Independence. But to your point, there was a judge in Maine just recently that ridiculed Christian faith of a mother who was trying to raise her child in a Christian way. The ex-husband, the father, objected to it, and she sided with the husband. That is religious discrimination on the other side against Christians. So that's the other side of this coin. We cannot lose our Christian base, our Christian foundation, because all of our laws are based on a Christian worldview.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the reason why this country has been so successful, and we continue to push that. I also wanted to get your take on this. I know that you've been very outspoken in the matter of Obamacare, most recently obviously coming out and saying that you're ready for the subsidies to expire. Let's talk about that for a little bit, because I think a lot of Americans are floating the idea, since the president has also been very vocal about this, giving the money to the American people rather than these health insurance companies. Is that something you're looking to support, and how do we make sure that things like Obamacare never come about again? Because this is really been devastating for those who are looking to get quality health care on the market, but they can't seem to find it because these health insurance companies have taken advantage.
Look, it was one of the great things of the shutdown. The sunshine that is now on Obamacare is one of the great things of the shutdown, one of the few great things. But we now understand as a people that Obamacare had been a massive failure. We have piled subsidies on top of subsidies to try to keep this thing alive, Obamacare. We need to kill it now. We need to repeal it, or we need to substitute something for it so that we reestablish the doctor-patient relationship. And that is one idea, the one that you talked about, that's floating around. But the temporary COVID-era subsidies need to expire at the end of the year. And we need to find a solution that reestablishes the doctor-patient relationship, whatever we do.
Yeah, I know most Americans will support just that. Congressman, I want to thank you for joining us today, and thank you for putting up this fight. These are very key fights that we need to take on, and we need to be fearless when we do just that. We also look forward to hearing you speak in just a few moments on the House floor later today, so we will bring that live to our audience when you do. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brianna.
Folks, I wanted to reshift your attention on over to what happened yesterday in the House. It was quite disturbing late last night. You may have seen it. There were a couple of rhinos that decided to step on in and hold back a very key censor that was supposed to be happening yesterday. Okay, so as many of you guys know, we outlined it for you in the beginning of the show. Stacey Plaskett is one of the women who are being called in the question right now. She's the congresswoman from the, she's a delegate, I should say, who was texting Jeffrey Epstein during a 2019 congressional hearing. Now, again, this was very critical because, again, she was trying her very best to go after Trump at the time. And since all of this has happened, she's been exposed. So what happened? Well, they tried to do a censure on her yesterday, and it failed because, well, a lot of key Republicans, interesting Republican names that pop up, of course, and they didn't support it. They didn't support it. Andrew Garbino is somebody who I've mentioned multiple times. He voted present yesterday, which is actually probably a good thing for him. He's someone during the Big Beautiful Bill vote was sleeping and missed it. And thankfully, they narrowly was able to pass it with one vote that was needed. But again, this is someone who I say probably owes a lot to the Speaker of the House as well as the President of the United States, who continues to endorse him. Lance Gooden was a no vote. Don Bacon was a no vote. David Joyce was a no vote. So what does this mean? Well, this all means now, obviously, that she's going to keep her committee assignments and everything goes on as if everything's okay, but it's not okay. It's not okay. Yesterday, members of Congress, though, not all members of Congress were in agreement on that no vote, obviously, with three of them voting no, but a lot of them were really enraged. And they reached out to me yesterday and they were fired up. And the allegations that were made to me yesterday were quite alarming. I posted this yesterday on X. You may have seen it. It was my scoop at the time before Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna came out swinging. This is what I had for you guys. Now, this didn't even come from her. Keep that in mind. Republican leadership wanted to save Congressman Corey Mills tonight. So they blocked, obviously, this vote last night. It was obviously to remove the congresswoman from her seat, her committee assignment. And if you're wondering why, how does this have to do with each other? Well, here's the thing. Democrats had a plan yesterday. If she was going to be censored, they were going to then move Corey Mills up forward. And we're going to have a retaliatory resolution to go after him as well. And if you're wondering why, Corey Mills last month had a restraining order placed against him by a judge in Florida due to one of his ex-girlfriends. Now, again, we won't go into the details. We've done it before. It's a personal matter. But Corey Mills has been linked to a lot of corruption-related issues, and the allegations he's facing, still to this day, although he denies them, have not been looked into by House Republicans. And many of his colleagues are deeply concerned by these alleged claims of corruption. Now, hear me out. The one congressional member yesterday who was really fired up when they reached out to me pretty much just called it out and said that Republican leadership was the one who wanted to save Corey Mills yesterday. So they allowed what happened, what you saw yesterday. They also encouraged it. So again, while we're sitting here and trying to go after those on the left who have intentionally lied to the American people about Jeffrey Epstein, but also were trying to work with him because they knew he was a pedophile and they were hoping he had something good on President Trump. So while a certain group of Republicans, brave Republicans, came forward and decided that they were going to go after her and try to get this woman removed from her committee assignments, rhinos stepped forward and they wanted to protect Corey Mills. Corey Mills is facing a lot of corruption-related issues. He's got a lot of questionable business dealings. The Blaze has extensively reported on the fact that if you look at his marriage certificate, there's an individual who is listed on that marriage certificate who is allegedly someone who's been linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, but is an unindicted co-conspirator to the 9/11 bombings. So this is something that's deeply, deeply concerning. Corey Mills has denied these claims, although he knows, obviously, this is someone who did marry him to his wife, who he's still not legally divorced from. This is something that has been called into question. And so many people sit back and they have watched what happened yesterday, and they're fired up. They say that what you saw yesterday that played out on the House floor is due to the simple fact that House Republicans' leadership wanted to protect Corey Mills. They didn't want Democrats to retaliate and put him forward as well. And I can attest to this. It's very, very obvious that this is what's going on. And the only reason why I'm pulling up my phone now is because I've been reaching out for a comment on this issue. Congresswoman Kat Kamick has actually been very, very outspoken on the issue as well. She was fired up yesterday on X. Let's actually listen to this clip first before I read you the comment that I have received back just a couple of minutes ago. Listen to, in clip five, listen to Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna as she sounds off all about this, and it validates my reporting yesterday. Take a listen.
The gentlelady from Florida will state her inquiry.
I was wondering if the Speaker of the House of Representatives can explain why leadership on both sides, both Democrat and Republican, are cutting back-end deals to cover up public corruption in the House of Representatives from both Republican and Democrat members of Congress.
The gentlelady has not stated a proper parliamentary inquiry.
Thank you very much, but I think the American people know what happened tonight.
Do they? Do they? Well, they do, of course. They do, of course. And it's not just her calling it out. It's also Congressman Tim Burchett, obviously a common guest on this program. He's just over it. In clip six, he's just describing, and this is why I love his videos. The angles on them are absolutely awful, but the message is clear, and he's fed up with the corruption in Washington, D.C. Take a listen.
Just tells you how corrupt this place is, but the disgusting thing about it was four Republicans chose not to vote. Three Republicans voted present, and three Republicans voted no. So it failed. And what they did was they cut a deal. They cut a deal on another, on an ethics vote on a Republican. And that's just wrong. If everybody ought to stand on their own. If it were truly, we don't care whose party these sex offenders and all this other stuff are in, we're going after them. Then we start cutting deals. To me, it's really disgusting. I get disgusted about some things, but this is one that's really, really bad. You've got some people on there who are chairman of committees and things like that. And that's the kind of people we put in leadership. It's bogus, and it stinks.
It is bogus, and it does stink, and this is what we're dealing with right now in the House, and it's very, very obvious this is going on. Now, again, Corey Mills has faced several allegations regarding corruption-related issues, unethical questions are kind of surfacing all the time about him, and for some reason, no one's stepping up to the plate to go out there and to potentially get him removed from his committee assignments. He is heavily involved in several key committee assignments, foreign affairs, as is one of them. It's a big one, obviously, especially when someone is able to clearly just drive through Syria without any issues, according to The Blaze. And Democrats are trying to get him pulled, obviously, but Republicans are holding the line and not doing just that. He is someone, obviously, who should be called into question if we're playing fair. We're playing fair here. Now, I've reached out several times. I mean, probably at least four times to Speaker Johnson's office asking if they plan on launching an investigation into him and having him pulled from his committee assignments. And every time I never get a direct answer. But then there's this. I reached out yesterday in regards to my report. And a source pretty much tells me that if leadership wanted to do just that, what I'm claiming that they do, what the other members of Congress are claiming they did yesterday, that they in fact would have never even brought the bill up forward yesterday. The motion to refer to ethics committee would have passed. Again, it's a bad game. And again, they're not even trying to intervene on the issue of Corey Mills. They're not. They're doing their very best. To sit back and just watch it all play out. Again, what I've asked several times, a lot of these key leaders in the Republican Party in the House are just sitting here and going out and saying, well, we're just going to let the legal process play out. They're only going to let the legal process play out in regards to the allegations he's facing with his ex-girlfriend. I don't even care for the ex-girlfriend drama. I don't care about any of his love life drama. I'm focused on the issues that are in front of us right now. The direct links to Islamic terrorists are what I am concerned about. Again, nobody wants to seem to go on the record on that. There's something very, very strange when it comes to Corey Mills, though, that continues to happen. And in my opinion, it's deeply concerning because, again, not many people want to talk about this. Why is he so protected? You know, I worked for a media outlet that constantly would have him on air before he even made his way or even ran for office. And we were told just to have him on all the time. And I never understood why. He's not a great speaker. There's tons of great veterans out there who are great speakers. So why were we forced to prop him up? And now all of a sudden he's being protected by House Republicans. Now, again, the Blaze has been doing all the digging on this issue. And unfortunately, House Republicans just don't seem to care. They just don't seem to care. So although, you know, leadership will deny, House Republican leadership will deny the report that I released yesterday in regards to how they intentionally did not want to censor that Democrat yesterday because they wanted to protect Corey Mills, it's important to keep in mind that they'll deny that. But several House Republicans, congressional members, current ones, as you saw there with Anna Paulina Luna coming forward and saying, you know, there's something there. And when they reach out to me privately, there's something there. So a lot of people want to continue to push on the topic of Corey Mills. A lot of people who are his colleagues are continuing to raise these concerns. And unfortunately, this is what's going on in the world. There's a lot of corruption, and it's on both sides of this, and I'm not going to sit here and pick. House Republicans should be ashamed of themselves. They should be absolutely ashamed of themselves for what they've done. Allowing all of this to just slide by is absolutely disgusting, and it's infuriating. But we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep demanding answers, and I look forward to possibly doing that in person very, very soon. Folks, in the next hour of the show, we're going to be taking your calls, and we're going to be doing it, taking some news stories, taking some calls, going back and forth a little bit. So if you want to join the show, maybe sound off on the topics we've discussed thus far, give me a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. There's a news topic that we've discussed thus far that you want to make sure that we also cover maybe a different perspective. I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 877-789-2539. In the second hour of the show, we're going to be talking a little bit about Joy Reid because she's having a change of heart in regards to the trannies being able to use the women's bathroom. And it's very, very enlightening to go back and forth and listen to how she was an advocate for us not being hateful bigots. But now all of a sudden, she doesn't really want these biological men in women's spaces, like the women's locker room. Huh. All it took her was getting fired from MSNBC to see the light. Plus, it looks like we're finding more and more fraud in regards to the SNAP program. So we'll detail that for you because Brooke Rollins is outlining that for us as well. And there was a very important interview that I'm going to play for you. We're going to play about a 5-minute clip in regards to the person who was running Charlie Kirk's security detail on the day of his assassination. And it's interesting because he's answering a lot of those conspiracies in regards to why they claim that they weren't able to find a bullet. Well, he says a doctor explained it to him, and he's breaking his non-disclosure agreement to out the details behind that. It's a very, very interesting clip that we'll play for you in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we're giving away a free flag with every order. It's for a limited time, of course. It ends on Friday. So you're going to want to head on over and do just that. Also, you could pair that up with the $10 that we're giving away for free at checkout. All you got to do, there's no minimum required, is fill up your cart with a bunch of stuff, I guess I should say, over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. And you get that free $10 credit, no minimum to spend over at thealexjonesstore.com. So many incredible deals going on right now. Head on over to the shop and start your Christmas shopping a little earlier. We'll be right back with more.
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I've read online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of food. So I'm going to do that.
But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that. Honestly, I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.